Well, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 this morning. I can do one of two things. I can talk really slow and get one point across, or I can talk really, really fast and get 3 points across. Or I can talk really, really slow and you can tell the crock pot to wait.
Number one.
Number one was talk really, really slow and get all 3 points, right? How did we get here? Listen, there's about 6 messages I'm going to put into one in about 10 minutes, and I'm not going to do this justice. So really what I want to do is I just want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to focus on 2 verses. I want to focus on verse 15, and I want to focus on verse 21. So we're just going to let this slide. How do we get up here? Stay up here. And just to remind ourselves that there is bad news and there's good news going on in the Garden of Eden. Right now, the bad news is man, Adam, has sinned. Eve has sinned. And they're running around, if you will, not really running anymore. They're standing in the garden and they're embarrassed because they're naked. They feel shame, what they've never felt before. And now they're trying to hide from the Lord, and the Lord God, he's coming and he's seeking them out because he desires that relationship. And we just celebrated that, friends. God sent Jesus while we were still sinners. Jesus Christ died for us. God said, I want that relationship, and I'm going to do all I can do to make sure it happens. He sent us Jesus. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and he's going to look at the serpent. He's going to curse the serpent. That's why we hate snakes. All right? How many of you love snakes? Show me loud and proud. Stand up. Raise your hand. All 3 services, this is the most sanctified service because none of you raised your hand to the glory of Jesus. If you love snakes and you're online and I've offended you, let me know and I'll apologize. I hate snakes. Snakes are bad. But I have a favorite snake. You know what my favorite snake is? A dead snake. Why? Why do we hate snakes? Because it's in verse 14. God has cursed it and said, you are cursed more than all the cattle over all everything else on the ground. You are cursed. That's why we hate snakes. That's why we are scared of snakes. So next time you see a snake and someone says, I'm afraid of snakes, you say, why are you afraid? Well, because of whatever. And you say, you know why I'm afraid of snakes? Because it's Genesis chapter 3. Boom, there's the gospel. You've just inserted a gospel conversation. So God has cursed the serpent. Look at verse 15. That's where I'm going to camp for most of my time. So God is looking at the serpent. In my mind's eye, I can't prove this, if you will, theologically or biblically. I just have in my mind's eye that here's the serpent, here's Eve, and here's Adam all standing there, if you will, taking their consequences from the Lord. And he looks at the serpent, he says in verse 15, and I will put enmity, I will put hostility, I will put conflict, I will put hatred between you and the woman. There's going to be conflict between you and the woman. That's why the woman's seed is now marked. I'll get back to that in a minute. So I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. So the devil hears that, and he says to himself, if I can squash or kill the seed of the woman, I will win. That's why he puts Cain and Abel against one another, and Cain kills Abel. But guess what? Here comes Seth in the line of Seth. And so God says, there's going to be conflict between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. I would like to change that to say he's going to crush your head. And again, it comes back. The favorite snake is a dead snake. And this seed is going to crush your head. But in the process of crushing his head, you're going to bruise his heel. How many of you would like to come forward and have a crushed head? Or how many of you would like to come forward and have a twisted ankle? I'll take a twisted ankle over a crushed head any single day. And he looks at the, God looks at the serpent and he says to him, you're going to have your head crushed, which means you're going to die. And you're going to bruise the heel of the seed. It's what we just celebrated. Christ was bruised. He was beaten, but he was not crushed. He was not defeated as the serpent was defeated on the cross of Calvary. So it says, between you and your woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Mark in your Bibles, I have mine circled, and beside it I have the word gospel. Good news. Among all the bad news that is happening, there's punishments being laid out. There's discipline being handed out. And in the bad news, God says, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. It's all bad news. But among all the bad news, there's good news. There's always good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is God's going to win. And so if you're one of those people that ever comes up to me and you say, hey, I have good news and bad news, I always take the bad news first. Always. Because then there's the hope of good news. And if you're here this morning, and it's been a bad week, been a horrific week, you come, and the good news is Jesus wins. Jesus wins. So let's go ahead and we could, your homework this afternoon, if you want to read it, and if you have questions or if you want commentaries, I'll make copies or I'll buy it for you if you really want to get into it. There's the curse on the woman through pain and childbirth. There's the curse on the man with the toil and the soil, the weeds and the thorns and the thistles. That all comes as a result of Adam and Eve's choice to sin. Side note, before we leave those verses, which would be 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, your decisions, your consequences impact other people. Your sin just doesn't stay within you. It impacts other people. So here comes Eve. She sinned. And ladies, that's why you have pain in childbirth. Guys, Adam sinned. That's why we toil and sweat and work, because of Adam's sin. So don't think that we live in a bubble all of ourselves of saying, my sin, it only hurts me. It hurts other people. Don't forget that. And before we leave these two verses, Adam and Eve, verses 16 through 19, I should say, Adam and Eve, they were promised one thing, sin. It overpromises and it underdelivers. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. It's going to be marvelous. Just eat, and then you're going to have all of this wonderful things happen. They ate, and they went, oh, that wasn't what I thought it would be. And to really drive home the application of Genesis 3, that sin that you have, if I do this, oh, it's going to be wonderful. You do it, and then you sit there and go, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Sin, it overpromises and it underdelivers. We see that in Genesis 3. We see that in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve were promised the perfect life. They ate, and now they are promised death, separation. But look at verse 21. The serpent has been cursed. Adam and Eve have been given consequences. Adam and Eve understand the consequences. Now look at verse 20 and 21. Now the man called his wife's name Eve. She still, up to this point, was never given the name Eve. We always read it as Adam and Eve, and that is biblically true, but she is not given her name until after God has disciplined them. She's always been called woman. The woman that you gave me, the woman that you gave me. That was her name, woman. Only after the curse is given or the discipline is given is she given a name, and her name is given Eve. Who names her? Adam names her. Because Adam's going back and getting the job or the position of leadership that he delegated to Eve, which caused them to sin. He comes and he looks at the woman. He says, your name is now Eve. And your name is Eve because from you, you will be the mother of all living. From your womb, you're going to bring forth the promised seed. Among the bad news, here comes the good news. Adam, receiving that bad news, he looks at it and says, even in the bad news, I'm not going to forget the promises of God. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling with bad news or you're struggling with the weight of the world, I would encourage you to read, know, and practice the promises of God. All the bad news that's happening, just imagine all the bad news that's happening to Adam. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to remember the good news of Genesis 3:15. And if it's been a rough week, a rough month, a rough year, and I would dare say, we'd all stand up and say, amen. Let's not forget the hope and the promise we have found in God's word. Don't forget that, church. So let's keep going. Verse 21, the Lord God, he made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. What are Adam and Eve walking around in right now? They're walking around in fig leaves. Who still has their leaf from 2 weeks ago sitting on the counter? I'll wait. Still waiting. Yeah. Your homework, again, is to go and find a leaf, sit it in the counter, and wait to see how long it takes to become brittle. And Adam and Eve are running around full of shame, embarrassment, covering those sensitive parts that we all need to cover. And God says, your attempt at covering is not good enough. I will go and I will provide a covering. Brings us back to the Lord's Supper. Because God saw that we can't do it. We can't take ourselves to heaven. God says, I will provide a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And God said, I'm going to provide a sacrifice. I'm going to provide Jesus. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin. Yesterday, for some of you, was the happiest day of your life. Do you know what it was? Hunting season. Poor Bambi. Poor Mrs. Bambi. Poor Papa Bambi. As we took our guns, locked and loaded to drop ourselves a deer. It's about as far as I go with my hunting illustration. But some of you have got your deer. That deer had to die. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve have never experienced death. But God brought an animal out, I believe. He killed it in front of them. And he skinned it in front of them so that they could see, understand, know, and realize just how much their sin cost. That animal had to die so they can be covered. Fast forward 3,000, 4,000 years, we stop and we realize just how much our sin cost us. It cost the life of Jesus. So as you leave here this morning, the big point, the main thing I want you to leave with, hope. Leave here with hope, knowing that amidst all the bad news, amidst everything going on, God wins. If you turn to Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. Some of you may have come trusting in what you can do, trusting in what you can accomplish, my horse or my chariot, I would encourage you to look at the rest of Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. This morning, our service started with baptism. A young man and an adult identifying publicly, I love Jesus, and I'm willing to follow him with a public declaration because I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in what Jesus has done. Then we sing beautiful hymns or choruses or songs, whatever you want to call it. And we sing, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Thank you, Jesus, you set me free. Not because of what I have done, but because of what you have done. Then we come to communion. And we stop and we remind ourselves. It's because of Jesus. Leave here knowing God wins amidst all the bad news. Let's not forget the promises of God's word. Let's not trust in ourselves. Let's trust in the name of the Lord our God. So Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Thankful for Sam and for Sam, for their baptism, for their willingness to step out in faith and obedience to you and to your word. Thankful for the songs that we sing. A reminder of why we're here. Thankful for communion. The reminder to keep the main thing, which is Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for his sacrifice. He set me free. He's my living hope. And Lord, among all that's going on in our world, all the bad news that's happening, may we not forget the promises of your word. May we not forget the hope that we have, because ultimately, God, we know that you are in control. We're so thankful for the truths of this day. So thankful for the hymns that we sang, the choruses that we sang, the songs that we sang, and all of our services. And Lord, most of all, let us leave here knowing Jesus can set us free. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.